Healer, Episode 1, written by J.K. Swift, author of the Forest Nights series, performed by Brad Wills. To learn more about the author, please visit jkswift.com. Healer, Keepers of Quelavon, Volume 1.
Dina, your master is hurt. Get your medicines and come quickly.
The tanner's youngest son burst into the healer's shack, nearly tearing the door off its wooden hinges. The mortar and pestle jumped out of Dina's hand, spilling the lavender concoction down the front of her gray robe and onto her sandaled feet. She cursed softly. It was the third time she had attempted to make the potion, and while the first two were miserable failures, this last one shared the same consistency as ones mixed by Quesnel, her master.
"Slow down, Jarl."
She pulled her long chestnut hair behind her neck and began dabbing at the front of her robe with a rag.
"Tell me what test my master has arranged for me today."
Even as she said it, the boy's frantic eyes stirred up an awful feeling in the pit of her stomach.
"It be no test. The healer was attacked and is close to death. They need you in the square." "Attacked?"
Dina felt the color drain from her face. The urgency in the boy's voice told her this was the real thing, and not just another simulation arranged by Master Quesnel. Without thinking, she began stuffing herbs and bottles into a pack, grabbing whatever was within arm's reach. Then she caught herself. She did not even know the nature of her master's injury.
"Did you see him?"
she asked Jarl.
"I..."
He paused momentarily and held Dina's gaze.
"I saw the whole thing. Oh, Dina, it was awful. Why would anyone harm a healer?" "Who did it?" "A stranger, just outside the provisioner's shop. Him and Master Quesnel were talking some, and then the man just cut him down before my very eyes."
Dina willed herself to take a deep breath and remember her lessons on assessing the situation.
"The wound is from a blade, then?" A short sword, I think. It happened so fast. The man had the blade out, and Master Quesnel grabbed his arm. They struggled for but a moment, and then the healer fell down. It was hardly a fight." "My master is a healer, Jarl, not a warrior. What of the stranger?" "He stole Old Man Brandsmith's horse and took the north road out of the village. Cairn is making preparations and aims to set out after the stranger before the sun drops."
Dina ignored the fluttering in her stomach and reached behind her on a shelf for a roll of clean bandages and a handful of clotting moss.
"Let's be gone, then. Take me to him."
Dina finished expertly tucking in the edges of the bandage covering the angry red gash across her master's abdomen. He lay unconscious on a table in the provisioner's shop, since Dina had decided the healer's wounds too grievous to be moved any further. Master Quesnel had a life force stronger than any Dina had ever known, but now she could sense his vital energy flickering unsteadily. His ashen face looked cold and dry, and the skin seemed to have lost all elasticity. It hung off his cheeks like old canvas, gathering in large wrinkled heaps under his eyes. Quesnel was a strict taskmaster. Since she was a child, he had taught Dina the art of healing through endless drills and mental exercises that challenged her at every turn. Few could keep up the relentless intensity of her studies year upon year. But she thrived on it. It filled her with a sense of purpose. Dina offered up a silent prayer that her skill as a healer would not now prove wanting. She looked up as the door banged open. Cairn, the warder of Bray's Creek and the wild lands surrounding the small village, moved into the shop. There had never been a warder younger than Cairn, but no one, including Dina, was surprised when the council appointed him to the position. A step behind came Speller, an old tracker who'd made a name for himself as a border guard 20 years ago. He used one hand to stroke a bushy mustache that resembled gray squirrel tails hanging under his nose. In the other, he held an unstrung recurve bow made from a dark wood. Both of the men wore sword belts buckled around their waists. "How is he?" Cairn asked, his cornflower blue eyes only making the slightest contact with Dina's own.
faring poorly. I've stopped the bleeding, but the wound will fester.
She used the back of her hand to wipe at her forehead, making sure not to wipe any of the blood on her fingers off. Will he live? She looked at Cairn, and the tall man squinted slightly, but didn't avert his eyes this time.
I honestly don't know. I've treated the wound as best I can. He should be doing better than he is, but the wound has begun to sour.
Poison?
Dina shook her head.
I've seen no sign of foul substances, yet something continues to consume him.
She applied a wet cloth to her master's forehead.
I fear his only chance is a weapon salve.
How do you mean?
I need to treat the weapon responsible for the wound.
She noticed the confused look on Cairn's face and pondered the words to explain. She tried to recall how the weapon salve had been explained to her the first time.
There is a connection between a weapon and the wound it creates. In most cases, treating only the wound is enough, but in some severe cases where the wound continues to worsen, it's because the weapon keeps tearing away at the injury from afar. The weapon hungers for more and uses this connection to feed itself. Many enchanted blades are created by simply strengthening this common thread between weapon and wound.
Dina paused to check over her master's bandage once more and then said quietly,
I must find the weapon and break its hold over my master.
A procedure she admitted only to herself, she had never performed. In fact, she had only seen Master Quesnel apply a weapon salve once in the 12 years she had been his apprentice. Cairn looked to his older comrade and said,
We'd best be going then. Dina, we aim to find this man and bring you his weapon as soon as we can.
The two men turned to go, but Dina stopped them with a commanding tone that surprised even herself.
No, that won't be good enough.
Cairn turned around, his head cocked slightly. Dina cleared her throat and continued,
I'm going with you.
Cairn's mouth opened to protest, but she cut him off.
Master Quesnel will be dead in 72 hours, maybe less. Do you really think you will be able to track this man down and bring his weapon all the way back here in time? I will need to apply the salve to the blade the moment we find it. There is no other way.
Dina, you know I can't let you come. It's too dangerous.
Dangerous? This man found me living on the streets of Claire's home city when I was 8. I empty my stomach every time I think on what my life would be had he not come along. He brought me here and gave me a future, so do not lecture me on taking risks.
She paused and willed Cairn to look her in the eyes.
He means more to me than any man ever could. You, of all people, should know that.
Cairn flinched noticeably at the remark, and Dina immediately regretted saying it. She was glad when Speller, the tracker, spoke up.
Might be a good idea taking a healer along with us, Cairn. Especially a young, pretty one with fire in her blood.
He smiled and winked at Dina, which sent one end of his gray mustache quivering. The old man's sparkling eyes and easy way with people usually got a smile out of her, but not today. She ignored him and focused a determined stare on Cairn. Cairn looked from one to the other, lifted his hands in supplication, and then wheeled around and stomped out of the shop. Speller grinned and shook his head slowly from side to side while leaning slightly on his bow.
Don't you mind him none, Dina. He's still young, and young men, well, they're so busy rushing through life, they don't always know when to slow down and say yes to a good thing. Welcome along.
He removed his forester's hat, gave a short bow, and then winked again.
I'll go saddle up one of the mares for you.
The sun was dipping behind the hills, slowly leaching the color out of the forest's autumn leaves, as two men and one apprentice healer rode into the Three Brothers mountain range. Dina had changed into her dark riding breeches and a white tunic. Over her shoulders, she wore a short hooded cloak to protect her from the cool air. Normally, when she donned her riding garb, it meant she had some free time away from her studies to enjoy a quiet ride in the nearby hills. Today was different. A voice inside her kept urging her on, telling her to hurry, and this made the slow progress of tracking almost unbearable. Cairn rode beside her. He seemed to sense her impatience. "Don't worry, Dina. Speller is the best there is. We'll find him." Speller rode ahead, occasionally signaling a stop so he could dismount and read sign. He demanded absolute silence while he did this, a rule which apparently did not apply to himself, for he was always whistling or humming as he scoured the ground for prints, and sometimes he would even perform a quick dance step or two before he remounted and beckoned them on with a dramatic flair. They continued on until after dark, but finally even Speller's keen senses could no longer pick out the trail in the blackness, and they were forced to make camp. Cairn built a small cooking fire, being careful to construct a screen to hide any light it might give off. They ate some dark bread toasted over the fire and then topped with cheese and a bit of dried meat. Speller offered Dina a drink of some suspect liquid in a flask he kept tied around his neck, but she declined, opting for water instead. The old tracker was never quiet for more than a few seconds. His wit was quick and his tongue sharp, and he had Dina laughing hard on more than one instance, and for the duration of the simple meal, she almost forgot why they were there. Then the talk around the campfire suddenly took a turn to the more serious. "How far ahead of us do you think he is?" Cairn asked Speller. The older man took a pull off his flask and grimaced.
"Well, I've been thinking on that," he began, one hand combing breadcrumbs out of his mustache. "This fellow is either dull or very clever."
"How so?"
"He got a 2-hour head start on us, I would say. Then he gained another hour or so because he was able to move faster than us tracking as we went. Strange thing is, all along the trail I kept finding rest spots, areas where he got off his horse and sat down. A couple times he even lay flat out. Now, do those sound like the actions of a hunted man?"
"Perhaps he doesn't know we're following him," Dina said.
"More likely he's leading us somewhere," Cairn said. Speller nodded.
"Could be an ambush. Could be he has a group up in these mountains, and he's leading us into a trap."
Cairn was silent for a moment and then said, "We'd better get some sleep. I want to be mounted up when the light comes." He turned to Dina. "I'll get you some more blankets. It's going to be cold tonight."
"No need," she said quickly. "I'll be fine."
Cairn looked at her for a moment and then said, "All right, sleep close to the fire. I'll wake you in a few hours." With a nod to Speller, he stood up and said, "I'll see to the horses." Dina's eyes followed the young warder as he made his way across the clearing to the tether line. She never tired of watching him move. He had a slow, easy stride that seemed to waste no motion, the sword at his side sharing the same rhythm. She wondered how many of the stories told about him were true. Perhaps that slow, swaying movement lured men into a false sense of confidence. Maybe they took him for an easy mark, mistaking his docile manner for a weakness, only to find out too late that he was merely efficient. What a senseless waste, she thought. Surely a man with that much grace could do more with his life than kill. Dina shivered and pulled her blanket around her shoulders.
Dina woke with a start, surprised she had finally drifted off to sleep on the cold, damp ground. It was still dark, but the aroma of a cup of elderberry tea next to her face made her mouth water. Balancing on top the steaming metal mug was a warm biscuit. She rolled her neck until it cracked, and the kink in it eased. Her stomach grumbled. She attacked the biscuit and was sipping on the tea when Cairn came up leading her saddled mare.
"Speller has gone ahead to pick up the trail. We'll move out soon. You sleep all right?"
"Not very well," she said, rubbing the back of her neck.
She looked at Cairn's face, with its bright eyes and day-old stubble shadowing his angular jaw, and added,
The tea and biscuit improved things considerably, though. My thanks.
Cairn busied himself, cinching up the already tight straps on the mare's saddle.
We all need to keep up our strength.
He turned to face her, and in his quiet manner said,
We mean to travel faster today. It may get a little rough, so you be sure and let me know if there are any problems.
At first Dina felt insulted, and was about to say she could likely ride better than either of the men, but when she looked at Cairn's face, she saw only true concern for her safety mirrored there. There was a pleading in his eyes that she had never seen. It was as though he felt responsible for her being here. Of course, that was ridiculous. She had to come. There was no other way. She stood up.
I'll be fine. You know I will.
He forced a smile.
I suppose I do.
Dina reached out and touched his hard forearm.
Cairn, I'll be fine.
She knew how difficult it was for Cairn to be open with others. She knew the way he felt had not changed since that night at the last Midsummer Festival. He had pulled her away from the dancing throng of people, and under the outermost string of lanterns, haltingly confessed he had feelings for her. She admired his courage then, but she had pushed him away. Although the hurt in his eyes that he fought to hide still tore at her heart to this day, she knew she had done the right thing. Being a healer was an all-consuming calling that required dedication, discipline, sacrifice, and warders and healers surely do not mix. Her hand lingered on his arm longer than she meant it to. Finally, they both broke away without a word. Dina turned and leapt atop her horse. The sun was rising, giving everything an eerie glow as it warmed the morning dew. She shielded her eyes against the glare with one hand and watched Cairn walk across the clearing to his tethered horse. The sun was bright. Dina lifted a hand to wipe moisture from her eyes and then reined her horse in a tight circle away.
This has been Healer, Episode 1, written by J.K. Swift, author of the Forest Nights series, performed by Brad Wills. To learn more about the author, please visit jkswift.com. Production services by SpellboundAudio.com.